Many babies develop dispositions during the first few weeks and months of life which seldom can be changed. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about homes that are harmful. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. I believe that every pastor, spends a great majority of his time dealing with domestic difficulties and problems more than all the other problems combined. I don't believe this statement could be refuted or contradicted. Now, it would shock us, I'm sure. We'd be amazed to know just how many homes, even in the church, are divided and alienated. And it would surprise us even more to go a bit further and to know how many of those which are not divided and separated are still unhappy and miserable. I suppose only a pastor would be able to know to what degree this exists in his congregation among his people. But friends, it's much too prevalent, much more so than we'd like to believe. We don't even like to think about it. Now I hope that I might say something here today that will shock you and awaken you. We need to be stirred up. We need to be awakened on this great matter. The children are the innocent sufferers in this case. They are the victims, many times, of the unhappy problems which come in to divide husbands and wives and to bring separation to a family. So I'm going to speak very plainly, friends, and if it shocks you and shakes you up a little bit, that's fine. I think once in a while we need to be shaken and shocked. We need to understand how to deal with children and young people. We need to know how to bring those children up in the nurture of God and how to keep them and hold them in the church. Now, I'm not saying, friends, that I have all the answers today by any means. I don't believe anybody has all the answers, but we can learn together at least some of the basic principles of how to deal with young people, with teenagers, and with even the little infants who are still in their cradles. Now, almost all home problems are predictable. By that, I mean there are laws of human relationships which are exact and certain. We can almost predict what's going to happen in a home among the young people if we can discern certain conditions prevailing there. If we see certain things happen in a family, certain circumstances and the conditions developing along a certain line, it's almost definite that certain problems are also going to arise in that family. There have been many times in my ministry when I've sat down with husbands and wives to talk to them about problems which were just beginning to appear in the lives of their young people. And before long, those problems had broken out into open rebellion that required a great deal of attention. Now, it's heartbreaking, principally because the boys and girls at this tender, impressionable age of their lives are damaged by these problems. And sometimes they're damaged almost beyond repair and recovery. There's no question in my thinking but that many of these problems could be prevented if only we had the wisdom to take the great counsel of God and apply it to our families and to our children. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." There it is, knowledge. That's what we need. Now, you've seen it as well as I. You've seen families adopting a course with their own children that will lead them to definite destruction. I've seen it and stood back amazed. Now, those parents didn't think they were doing anything to harm their children. They were not intending to lead their children away from them or to destroy their children. And yet the result of their course was just as certain as though they had planned it deliberately to hurt their children. Now, if the results are the same, whether we're doing it in ignorance or whether we're doing it deliberately, then, friends, we ought to study to gain the knowledge that might safeguard those children and prevent those alienations from developing in the family. The first duty of every parent is to learn how to take care of and rightly direct the children. I don't care what your occupation might be or how much time you feel that you must spend in the office or the field or wherever your livelihood is made. There is no greater responsibility laid upon you than to be careful in training and preparing your children for the kingdom of God. Now, you may feel that your job is important, that your position is vital. You may feel that money is needed and success is important. But if you gain all those things and lose your own children, it'll be less than nothing. You'll have gained nothing in the end. How important it is that we as Christian parents understand our duties and our responsibilities. God has placed these young lives in our hands to not only provide for in the physical things of this world, but to prepare for entrance into the kingdom of God. We have been given these children as a divine stewardship by God to mold, fashion, and fit them for the association of angels in heaven. Now, if we fail to do this, friends, we have failed in our duty as parents and in the most solemn responsibilities that we have. Now, the question is, when should we begin with the work of training and preparation? When should we start out with these little ones and the work of molding, guiding them toward the kingdom of God? Here's where the greatest mistakes of all have been made. We should not wait until those children come to the age of reason before we start preparing them. While they're still little infants in the crib, they're just bundles of emotion, and those emotions are subject to being influenced. We need to understand this, friends, and never underestimate the importance of those first days, weeks, and years of the child's life. I read something very interesting some time ago, written by Dr. E.T. Sullivan in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm just going to read the little statement I lifted out of his book. Quote, "When God wants a great work done, he doesn't stir up his earthquakes or send forth his thunderbolts. Instead, he has a helpless baby born, perhaps in a simple home and of some obscure mother. And then God puts the idea into the mother's heart, and she puts it into the baby's mind, and then God waits. The greatest forces in the world are not the earthquakes and the thunderbolts. The greatest forces in the world are babies." And that's the end of the quote. And how true that is, friend. The mother receives from God the principles of true education, the principles of true character building, and then she plants those tiny seeds in the mind of that little baby. Then God just waits, because the natural course of growth and development will produce from those tiny seeds a full-grown character that God might use to shape the world. And every time God wanted to do something really tremendous on the world, he took a little baby, and he saw that the child was prepared and conditioned for some mighty influence on the world. Sometimes God would even speak to the mother before the baby was born. The other day we talked about Samson on this broadcast and how God spoke to that mother. He said, "Now you live my way and you follow these habits and you eat and drink like this, because this child is going to be a special child who will be dedicated to my service. He'll be called a Nazarite." Now listen, friends, this means that the work of a parent begins before the baby's even born. Long before that little baby is born, the education, the training, the molding, the inclining of that little character is dependent upon the mother and the father. This is more true than we even realize, I'm sure. So then the child becomes to a very large degree what the parents make him. In fact, I would even say this, the disposition of that little baby has been settled probably before it even leaves the cradle. The influences that transpire around the crib will have much more to do with the forming of its disposition than you and I realize. When emotions boil up around the baby, when words are spoken which are hard and unkind, the influence of it will be transmitted and the impression will be made. That child should grow in a peaceful environment and atmosphere where kindness is manifested. Now, I can't say too much about this. Sometimes parents will stand and argue over a tiny little baby, and they think, "Well, it doesn't matter now. When it gets older, we'll have to be more careful." But my friends, even before that child can reason or think for itself, it can be influenced by tensions that are around it. There will never be a developing period of that child's life when he will not absorb the anxieties around him as well as the love that's bestowed upon him. In fact, I think that they are deciding more and more among the experts that these early emotions to which the child is exposed actually have the most to do with the development of its character. It's a sort of a permanent mold that's made. Babies are, and habits of that baby are formed in those early years that shape the character throughout life. Happy are those parents who have laid a strong Christian foundation in the lives of their children and their young people. They will never forget those things. Habits of obedience that are learned before they're even able to think for themselves will continue on with them into the years of the future and into adulthood. They will not forget how to obey. No wonder the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The habits will be set. Their life, their character will be fixed in such a way that they'll have difficulty in turning away from the path of truth. All right, let's move up now to the teenage period of life. Now here, perhaps more than all the other ages, special help and attention is needed. Special companionship, special friendship. The parents are needed here more than any other age. You see, in teenagers, there's a deep anxiety growing and developing. After all, now they're ready to step out and find a place for themselves under the sun. There's a struggle going on in their very nature. They're trying to find themselves. There are emotions and feelings stirred up within them that they don't understand themselves, much less the parents who have to deal with them. And so it's a very uncertain period of time in which choices are being made between conflicting standards. Young people are trying to find a course of life for themselves, something they can follow for all future time. At this particular period, there may be a struggle for independence going on, and a bit of flaunting even of adult rules, because they do want to find a place for themselves. If they can get by with flaunting a few of the rules, they'll do it. But listen, friends, at the same time, these teenagers want the approval of their parents and of the adults. They also are looking for affection at the same time. Now, don't be fooled, parents, by this particular age group. They may seem to be independent and have their independent ways, and there may be a seeming indifference, but at the same time, that young person needs you and wants you very, very much. It's a dangerous age, and the pattern that was formed in the babyhood will be demonstrated and tested right now. If the strong foundation has been laid, these young people will be held firmly, even though there's a pulling and drawing of these inward emotions. They'll end up by making the right choice. But friends, that home life, has it been full of love? Has there been kindness? Has there been confidence? You see, the things which were drilled into their lives very, very early. Now those things are going to come out. If there's been a lot of love and unselfishness manifested, that teenager will come through. He'll stand firm. The home ties will hold him fast if the foundation was laid right. Over and over again, I've talked to parents whose children wandered away in later life. They left those principles that were instilled in them as children. And for a few months and maybe even a few years, those young people sort of wandered around, lost it might seem, and doing whatever they were led to do by their emotions. But you know, finally, after a period of experimentation, those young people were drawn back again and made their decision to return to the foundation upon which their early life had been established. So if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That means that he will come back to it and stay with it in later years, even though in his earlier years he might depart for a little while. Well, few parents realize that there are solutions to their bitter encounters and disagreements with their children and also with each other. God's book, the Bible, contains principles of human relations that can meet any personal need and any type of family problem. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.